We're discussing what happens when someone cuts off all communication with one or more relatives, family estrangement, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on our year-end membership drive. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we're here to say you count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a huge difference both this year and as we head into 2022 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right, Kate, and we've got about 25 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 17 more people to join us. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
That's right, and thank you so much if you've already given. We truly mean that. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give a few minutes. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, we just heard from the chief medical officer and state epidemiologist for communicable diseases for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, Dr. Ryan Westergaard. We've been hearing from Dr. Westergaard on The Morning Show since the start of this pandemic, and we'll continue to do so. And these are just some of the kinds of conversations you can count on right here on The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us with for conversation every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Maybe giving a dollar a day? That would be the right amount for your Wisconsin public radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value. Less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
Or my cup of tea.
Right?
So, a dollar a day comes out to $30 a month, as you know, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. Make your gift now. Do the math about what you think you would like to give in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Margot Potacek, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
And I'm Betty Potacek from Madison. If we want to keep Wisconsin Public Radio, we have to support it.
There have been times when I haven't been able to give, even between the time I was a student and now. Even if you're able to give a little bit, I think that makes a big difference. And the sustaining membership, where automatically every month it comes out of your checking account, you don't notice it so much that way. And it's super easy, and I think it makes a difference.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And Kate, we always ask you to give the amount that's right for you. And if it's helpful to use a formula, then maybe look at it this way. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard about. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to about $10 a month. If that math adds up for you, then make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm looking at our drive dashboard, and it's not budging as I refresh. I don't like that, Lee.
Come on!
A little urgency here. We're looking for 17 gifts this hour. There is time to get these gifts in the door. You make WPR possible with your gift. We appreciate it so much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, let's throw a bonus in there, an added bonus for supporting programs you love. Your donation enters you in a drawing for a year-long subscription, 365 days of NPR-inspired coffee and wine, along with Wisconsin cheeses. No contribution necessary. See WPR.org/drawing for details. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Shout out to Stephanie in Seward, Alaska. That's right. Seward, Alaska says, I listen every day from Alaska. WPR is still the best public radio station, even from afar. Stephanie, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. Alaska and beyond at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now to navigating family estrangement. Researchers say there's a lot to study in this area and point to a sharp rise in social media support groups for adult children who've chosen to be estranged, cutting off all communication with one or more relatives for a long time. Has this happened in your family or to you? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Christina Sharp is an associate professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Washington, where she directs the Family Communication and Relationships Lab. Christina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, give us some parameters here. What do you consider to be family estrangement?
So when I think of family estrangement, I actually think of it more as a continuum as opposed to you're estranged or not estranged. But really, estrangement is when at least one family member intentionally and voluntarily distances themselves from another family member because of an ongoing negative relationship.
Who tends to initiate this breakup, if you will? Is it the parent or their grown child?
Research suggests that it's the child who is more likely to initiate estrangement, although there's many instances in which a parent might initiate as well.
What might those situations be?
For parents in particular?
Yes.
So sometimes parents discuss wanting to protect other children in the home. They might have a child who might have a substance abuse problem. So there's reasons why someone might distance themselves are a little bit different between mm-hmm. parents and children, but typically it's usually something pretty severe.
What about the grown child? What are situations like there?
Oftentimes adult children report things like some sort of abuse, maltreatment, indifference. Sometimes it could be some ideological differences. For example, when LGBTQ folks come out and are met with like an unsupportive reaction, they might distance themselves then. Or even in some instances, parents might distance themselves from their kids.
And you mentioned this, and we live in this increasingly politically polarized world, a culturally polarized society. And I'm thinking about gender identity. I'm thinking about Black Lives Matter, about Trumpism. Are value systems a factor here?
I think they certainly can be. I know more about the LGBTQ community because that's where my most recent research has been. But we're also doing a study on people who distance themselves because of political differences. And all of these things might be reasons why people choose to distance themselves. Although the majority of research to date tends to focus on more like reasons that are surrounding abuse.
Surrounding abuse. And you found that the pandemic has created complications for parents and grown children who are estranged. What are the impacts there?
So one of the studies I've done recently, I was looking at the experience of adult children during the pandemic. And what I found is that across a variety of different areas, adult children were expressing ambivalence. So the simultaneous feelings of two opposing feelings. So, for example, they felt really sad that their parents might not have contacted them during the pandemic, but also simultaneously relieved that no one reached out to them. Or they felt that contact from, if a parent did reach out to them, they felt that contact was both simultaneously welcome and unwelcome.
So those are very much conflicting emotions there. I would imagine that too can have an impact on one's mental health. What do you see there?
You know, we didn't look at particular outcomes, but mm-hmm. the experience of ambivalence generally is uncomfortable, right? When we're feeling kind of like contradictory experiences or things that kind of like don't make sense on their face, they're hard to explain to others. It's hard to get social support. So yeah, there's lots of things that might make an ambivalent experience difficult.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with communication researcher Christina Sharp, who studies how families cope with estrangement. And Christina directs the Family Communication and Relationships Lab at the University of Washington. You can join in with your experiences about relationships, about estrangement, 800-642-1234. I think about the impact on the children who miss out on knowing their grandparents due to an estrangement by their parent. How do you explain to children about estrangement?
So when I've talked to like immediate family members of estranged parent-child dyads, I think one of the most interesting findings was that people within the same family felt really, really differently about it. So some children whose parent was estranged from their grandparent, like, were really supportive of the parent. They were glad that that parent, you know, was in a healthier relationship. Alternatively, some grandchildren said, you know, like, this ruined my chance at a relationship with a grandparent, even within the same family. So I think that, like, there can be a variety of different reactions depending on a lot of different things.
It sounds like this also might be really hard to study because estrangement sounds like it is very individual, case by case, family by family.
Yes, estrangement is a complex, like, individual experience because families are systems. Like, you're not, I mean, is individual in the sense that each family might experience it a bit different, but families are systems such that what's happening with one family affects all the members of the family. And so that's what makes it so complicated and why it's hard to sometimes generalize.
The holidays being here, a time where families are getting together, what should we do if an estranged family member wants to come around during the holidays?
I think you probably wouldn't be surprised to hear me say that it probably depends. It depends on the reasons why someone, like, wanted distance in the first place. Like, people renegotiate boundaries all the time. And I think it's about recognizing that, like having a relationship is a process. Mm-hmm. And being close is a process, and you can't just expect like everything to go back to normal. So, like, setting expectations for renegotiating boundaries, talking about what that looks like, and seeing if that would be something that you want.
I think about that platitude, Christina, that time heals all wounds. And I'm just wondering, with estrangement, what do you see on timelines, or is there any truth to that with time?
For some people, I'm sure. But for other people, like, oftentimes when I talk to people who initiated distance, like, they are discussing not wanting to reconcile, which is pretty counter to, like, people who just, like, get in the fight. Like, I think all of us from time to time might have a conflict with a family member. But, like, one of the differences when I talk to people who are estranged is they don't want to reconcile. And so for some people, maybe over time, that renegotiation of boundaries that I talked about, they might want to incorporate more interaction into their lives. Some people do not, and they want to maintain the boundaries that they've set.
Well, let's bring on a caller now who wishes to remain anonymous. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I'm very thankful for your program this morning. I recently turned 59, and for years, decades, I've struggled with the relationship with my mom, only to find out through counseling that the counselor considered me emotionally abandoned as a child by my mother. So that at least helped me put some kind of a label on these feelings I was having. And now as she's getting older and I'm getting older, I'm finding myself moving farther and farther away from her just for my own mental health. I can't handle the dark places that she could drag me down into. And it is such a struggle because I need to maintain my mental health. I have to take care of me. No one else will do it. Yet I have all my life yearned for a relationship with my mom that I'm never going to have. And as I get older now and I'm realizing these things, somehow being able to know these things makes it less, I don't know, it just helps me a lot. So thank you for your show. I'm enjoying it.
Thank you for being willing to share your situation. Christina, there is this growing awareness around mental health and about what toxicity can do to your mind and body. What would you like to say there?
I think that the caller who just called in, that sounds very similar to a lot of the things that I hear. People who just decided after a long time that, I guess the way of estrangement begins, it's either this like growing realization that you can't continue as you are, or some kind of last straw event. But more often, it's this kind of internal decision that, like, this isn't good for me anymore. That I'm in a toxic relationship, and I need to get some distance from that.
Christina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Christina Sharp is an associate professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Washington, where she leads the Family Communication and Relationships Lab. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Hope you stick around next hour as we discuss the debate around the natural gas industry and efforts by Sierra Club and others to block gas utility projects from expanding in the face of global warming. Now to our year-end member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. And your financial support, it is the foundation. It is the bedrock for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2021 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, when 13 more people join in the next 5 minutes or so, we'll have met our goal.
Baker's dozen.
Let's get there. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been talking about family estrangement and the difficulties in navigating and the impact that it has. But we had an expert, right? But this isn't just any expert. This is a professor whose core research for years and years is this one societal issue. And so this is valuable, important insights to the relations we have with each other and valuable guests who bring these conversations to us each day on The Morning Show. These are the kind of conversations you want us to cultivate and that you count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And this drive, Alliant Energy, is partnering with WPR to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They will match every meal raised through the food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000 worth of meals.
Wow, and that means your thank you gift will provide an additional 25 or 50 meals to families in your area. Ask for yours now when you give $10 or $20 a month. And thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. It's your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month right now, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And with just a few minutes left this hour, we're still looking for 13 more people to join us. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day.
And WPR programs, they are listener powered. And that means that your donation right now, it makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before and you look forward to listening to WPR every morning, well, then that's a sign it's time to donate. And when you spend that much time with WPR, that means it's important to you.
And you are important to us. Complete the circle here, because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial participation from people like you, people who care about independent news, about conversation, about music. Your gift of, say, $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount feels right for you, it truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 13 more people support WPR programs in just the next few minutes, we'll have met our goal. WPR listener-powered. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Lee, take it away.
Your gift important. Don in Port Washington says, I know that every source has a bias, but WPR makes a real effort to minimize that bias, bringing us information and wisdom at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.